Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
Coconut. Coconut.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott.
Experience the ultra hydration of coconut water and wrap your skin in hydration with new Dial Coconut Water Body Wash.
Superfood? Nutritionists say no. Superior sports drink? Nope. There was a lawsuit over that claim. Better than soda? Pretty much. Prevents Alzheimer's? Lowers your cholesterol? Definitely not. Making a whole lot of money? Oh, yes. Coconut water, cooking oils, lotions, and products now rack up about $500 million in sales in the U.S., a number that's doubled every year since 2005, according to the Wall Street Journal. Maddie Oatman looked into the mighty claims and high cost of coconut products for Mother Jones. That's where we found her article, Stop Going Cuckoo for Coconuts. Maddie Oatman, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
So coconut water has been a staple in Brazil, parts of Africa, and Central America for a very long time. When did it hit it big in the U.S.?
Well, you know, coconut water was sold in, especially in health food markets, for a long time, for a couple of decades now. But starting in the mid-2000s, some entrepreneurs started selling it in New York City at bodegas. Vita Coco and Zyco launched simultaneously, kind of in the same week, back in 2004. Because they were inspired by how popular the drink was in Brazil and Central America.
Okay, so Rihanna drinks it, Giselle drinks it, Matthew McConaughey's invested in it. Why do you think it took off so quickly here?
You know, I talked to a food trends analyst named Harry Balzer of the market research firm NPD Group, and he made the point that the launch of coconut water kind of coincided with our excitement about all-natural eating and also our excitement about products that already had benefits like electrolytes or antioxidants naturally occurring. So we weren't having to add those things. I think another reason is just that, you know, it's exotic and it's a new product. It's exciting. And it doesn't have all the added sugars, say, of soda or Gatorade. The sugars are naturally occurring.
Well, let's stay with the drink for just a minute. What kind of health claims were made and were they ever proven?
Sure. Well, one of the health claims is that, you know, coconut water is full of electrolytes, which, you know, seems to be true. There are definitely some electrolytes in coconut water. But Vita Coco, for instance, exaggerated those claims a little bit by saying that coconut water had, say, 15 times the electrolytes found in sports drinks. That ended up not being true. So they were sued in 2011 and agreed to, you know, pay about $10 million.
So it's been kind of knocked off of its superfood status. But the coconut water success still has opened up a whole coconut craze. I mean, coconut oils and flours are selling really well. Coconut milk lattes at Starbucks. What are some of the advantages of those products or claims?
You know, coconut oil is popular because of its high flash point. So it, you know, burns at a much hotter temperature than olive oil. And it's also a great skin moisturizer. But, you know, if you're using it in cooking, one thing to note is that it's still mostly saturated fat. And eating too much of it could raise levels of a bad kind of cholesterol.
Well, as you point out in your article, what coconut products are good for are company bottom lines. So who's in the business and what kind of profits are they making off of coconut products now?
Coconut water companies seem to be doing really well. Vita Coco, for instance, owns about 60% of the market, and they're marketing things like flavored coconut waters, you know, pineapple-flavored coconut water, mango-flavored coconut water. And these products, on average, sell for about $2 for 12 ounces, and you can get about 32 ounces of Gatorade for that much, so you can kind of see that prices are a bit steeper for coconut water.
And who's in the business?
So you have Vita Coco is now distributed by Dr. Pepper Snapple Group and is a quarter owned by Red Bull China. Zyco is now owned entirely by Coca-Cola, and Pepsi owns most of One Coconut Water.
Well, we've seen this before, Maddie, with indigenous food staples kind of being seized upon by Americans and a global market. What can you tell us about the coconut supply chain? Where is it coming from? Who's being affected by it?
Supply chain still seems pretty opaque. It seems like the craze about coconuts, you know, the research about the supply chain hasn't quite caught up to that. But you know, one thing to say is that when you look at the people who are picking coconuts in countries like Indonesia, the Philippines, and Thailand, a lot of them are living on very little a day and make very little for each coconut. So there was an Oxfam report that looked into coconut farmers in the Philippines, and they found that a lot of coconut farmers are living on about $3 a day at the height of the harvest season, and they make about 11 to 20 cents a nut.
Do people still have to scale the trees in order to get them? Is there any different way to harvest them?
Well, the ways to harvest are shaking the tree vigorously or climbing up it and picking the nuts. And because coconut water comes from less ripe green coconuts, I think climbing the trees is often the best way to get them. So you have farmers kind of making these dangerous climbs to pick coconuts and not necessarily making that much money off of each nut.
So what is a coconut lover who's concerned about sustainability options to do? Should we be using them?
Sure. I mean, my interest in writing this article and looking into coconut products is just that, you know, there seems to be this boom in sort of an infiltration of coconut everywhere you look. But, you know, when you realize that most coconut, you know, we harvest almost no coconuts in the United States. So it starts to look a little suspect, you know, where are all these coconuts coming from? So my suggestion is just to, you know, buy products that are being a little more transparent about where they're growing their coconuts and products from companies who are working directly with coconut farmers. The brand Harmless Harvest, which has a pretty delicious raw coconut water that it sells, has a Fair for Life certification program, and they prioritize fair pay for their farmers. Another company, Big Tree Farms, is doing something I thought was pretty innovative, which is they actually sell dehydrated coconut powder. So you can make your own coconut water. It just means that they're not shipping large volumes of the water overseas, and that could reduce transportation emissions.
Maddie Oatman, thank you very much for making it a little more, the coconut supply chain a little more transparent for us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Maddie Oatman is the research editor for Mother Jones. There's a link to read her article, Stop Going Cuckoo for Coconuts, at wordofmouthradio.org. And she lists in her article some of the more sustainable or environmentally sound coconut suppliers.
We have ridden the length and breadth of the land in search of knights who will join me in my court at Camelot. I must speak with your lord and master.
What, ridden on a horse?
Yes.
You're using coconuts.
What?
You've got two empty halves of coconut and you're banging them together.
So? We have ridden since the snows of winter covered this land. Through the kingdom of Mercia, through...
Where'd you get the coconuts?
We found them.
Found them? In Mercia, the coconut's tropical.
What do you mean?
Well, this is a temperate zone.
The swallow may fly south with the sun, or the house martin or the plover may seek warmer climes in winter, yet these are not strangers to our land.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate?
Not at all. They could be carried.
What? A swallow carrying a coconut?
It could grip it by the husk.
Brother bought a coconut, he bought it for the dime. His sister had another one, she paid it for the lime. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and poured.
Thanks so much for your listening time today. There's much more to hear at wordofmouthradio.org. And if you missed any part of the show or would like to listen later, you can catch up by subscribing to the Word of Mouth podcast. You'll find it by searching for Word of Mouth on iTunes or at the link at wordofmouthradio.org. And please tell your friends that they can tune into Word of Mouth, whether they live in Berlin, New Hampshire, or Berlin, Germany. I'm Virginia Prescott. Spread it around and join us for more Word of Mouth tomorrow at 2. Right here on New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by
Taylor Quimby,
Logan Shannon,
and senior producer Maureen McMurray.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR,
its board of trustees,
or its underwriters. Word of Mouth is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.